Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is podcast number 898B, and we have a spectacular guest. I'm going to ask him about some things he probably didn't expect, but he is an expert on chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and asthma in particular, and he's a true triple threat, and I'll come back to what we mean by that in medicine. His name is Nicola Hanania, H-A-N-A-N-I-A, Nicola, who was trained at the University of Jordan in medical training, but he completed his fellowship in pulmonary medicine at probably the best place in the world for it, the University of Toronto. Our Canadian friends have a great program there. And he is now at Baylor College of Medicine in, I assume, Houston. He may tell me he's at the Dallas one, but I think he's at Houston. And Dr. Hanania, thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. Thank you for having me. I look forward to our discussion.
And are you in Houston, I assume?
I am in Houston, yes.
And he is, when I said he's a triple threat, that means he is a threat in the three aspects that we expect academic medicine physicians to have some relationship with: teaching — they teach medical students, residents, and fellows — as well as you as a patient, and that's where we're going to talk to about. They do research, and they do great clinical care. That's what the triple threat is. He is an award winner in all three, with a Career Investigator Award from NIH that shows excellence in research, a Faculty Excellence Award for teaching, and the Award for Excellence in Teaching from the Baylor Department of Medicine. No mean feat. So a great teacher. And then he, as you'll hear, is a great clinician, able to help people. So, Dr. Hanania, since you were trained in Canada, what is your, and have a relationship between both Canadian and American medicine, what's your thoughts about what's happening between Canada and the U.S. in trade and in this difficulty we're having now?
That's certainly an unexpected question, but I'm hoping to stick to the medicine part, but I'm hoping that things will get along well. I mean, obviously, our Canadian colleagues have great respect to Americans, and as an American now, I have great respect to them. And from the medical point of view, we have significant collaboration. I can tell you that, and we continue to do research in both here and Canada in collaboration with multiple centers there in Toronto and others. So, and that will continue despite everything else going on.
In Toronto, the University of Toronto is one of the great places for lung disease, both research and critical care. Is that right?
It is correct. In fact, Toronto was the first in the world to do the first lung transplant was done there. I wasn't involved in the lung transplant training, but I certainly respect all my mentors and teachers there. It's been a while. I've been in Houston now 23 years, but they certainly have a great center for training in lung diseases.
And the study you're going to talk to us about is one on how you get patients to use inhalers better. Is that right?
In a way, we wanted to know, as you know, Dr. Mike, I was asked to address you by Dr. Mike. I hope you don't mind that.
That's fine. That's fine.
But what I was, as we know, and I know we're talking to mostly patients on the air, we know that both asthma and COPD involve medications that are mostly delivered through inhaler devices. And we also know that there are several of them out there, different types, different platforms that are we call the meter dose inhalers, the dry powder inhalers. We have the soft mist inhalers, and And many more are coming, actually. There are smart inhalers, believe it or not, being developed, not yet ready for prime time, which have all the bells and whistles. There are also the nebulizers, which are the ones used the least, but still very effective delivery system. So our research, this one that we are going to talk about today, is more about, okay, what do patients perceive when they are given an inhaled delivery medication? And we really wanted to know, particularly COPD patients who are usually very symptomatic, they need some relief from their medication. And so the study we did was a survey. We wanted to know both aspects, the patient side, but also the healthcare provider side. So, and for both, we developed a systematic survey that was given over the internet to patients with COPD and patient and healthcare providers, not only pulmonologists like me, but also our primary care colleagues, and so non-pulmonologists. And we asked several questions, which obviously we can go through to see the perspective. What do they think? What do patients think when they're given an inhaler device? Do they put it as a priority for them? What are their thoughts? Do they get education on it? Because notoriously, many of the patients out there we see and who are using inhaler devices, sometimes for years, they don't use them correctly. You know, they just have lots of significant errors in using the devices. And thus, the drugs will not go where they're supposed to go. And thus, the patients don't get better. So that was the purpose of that study.
Tell us, since the study is published, and by the way, if you want to find out about the study, it's on the Journal of the COPD Foundation, which is journal.copdfoundation.org. So you can find out about it. But tell us what you found out about patient use and which devices they liked better, and what have you chosen to do with your own practice since you've done this study?
Yes. So being a survey study, there are lots of potential, you know, biases. But still, if you look at both the survey that we submitted to our clinicians, colleagues, pulmonologists, as well as non-pulmonologists, and the survey we sent to patients with COPD, there were about 500 patients involved and about 500 clinicians. And we asked several questions, obviously. One of the striking findings in both groups is that both patients and physicians and clinicians, they put an emphasis mostly on the type of drug or medication they get, more so than emphasis on the delivery system. So because we know that some medications can come in different delivery systems, but patients tend to, their main focus is more on what drug am I on, but not what delivery system I'm taking. The other finding we found is that many healthcare professionals, including pulmonologists, they don't check the inhaler technique when they first see the patient in the clinic. You know, new patients deserve education to know how to use these inhalers. Many of these inhalers require multiple steps if they're going to be used correctly. And we found that by self-report, and this is actually interesting because in reality it may be even worse, only 45%, less than half of providers assess the device technique every time they see a new patient with COPD. And also patients, even though they reported that they know importance of inhaler delivery system, they reported that they don't get consistent education from their healthcare provider. They seem to be also unconcerned with proper device technique. About two-thirds of them said they may not be concerned whether they're using the device correctly. The bottom line, what we found...
That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Don't you find that totally amazing, that they aren't concerned about it?
It's very concerning.
Because that's how you get the drug. If you don't have the proper technique, you don't get the drug the right way.
Correct. And so some of the new devices may be easier to use, but if we don't show it to our patients, and patients don't know how to use it right, but also some patients with COPD may have certain problems like with the physical problem with the hand. So we have to choose the different delivery system. So it's imperative that we have to counsel them, and we're not. And so there's one of the unmet needs we found, and we conclude in this paper is the importance of continuous education, not only for the physicians, but also for patients about, well, you know, that your doctor is going to put you on an inhaler, a new device. Make sure before you leave the office that you know how to use it. It's not enough to take a pamphlet or a picture because that's not going to help. Somebody needs to show you in the office before you leave how to use the inhaler. And we do, actually. We have, like, in our office, we have all these, what I call the toy box. I have all these inhalers, devices, placebo inhalers that I use to show the patient how to use it. And it's not enough the first, just one time. It needs to be checked every time. In fact, current guidelines for COPD emphasize the need for checking the inhaler device on patients every time they come in, because, you know, there's always a risk that you may know it now, but in a month you may forget how to use it correctly. So it has to be checked. It's part of the routine clinical visit to check inhaler device, which is not done, unfortunately. So even though our study was a very simple one, we really uncovered some really unmet needs that we need to focus on in improving the technique of the patient to use the inhaler device, but ultimately the outcome, as you mentioned, if they're not using it correctly, they're not going to get better, and they're going to get more flare-ups, exacerbations, and God forbid, hospital admission. You know, so we are working now with American College of Chest Physicians and other organization that and Chest Foundation and others, primary care also. Groups to
so our message to our patients should be our message to the people listening is make sure you find someone in that doctor's practice where you're prescribed an inhaler or some other device for asthma or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or whatever you have that involves a inhalation device, where you learn how to use it and practice it in front of someone so they can see how you're doing and correct you to get it so that you get optimal therapy from the device. Is that the right take home?
Correct. And if they and one thing the patients should know, that if they can't master one of them, there are drugs that come in different delivery system. We don't have the luxury of having every drug come in different platform, but there are some commonly used medication that can come in a different delivery system. So if you cannot use one, there may be another easier to use device for you as a patient that your doctor can pick. So there should be some kind of shared decision making when it comes to picking which inhaler device to give the patient. So that's one of the things we are working with our physicians groups to educate them, that the shared decision making regarding picking the right device for the right patient. And ultimately, this is the most simple way of personalized approach to COPD. You know, it doesn't have to be a very expensive way, but it's actually as simple as choosing the right device for the right person. And some patients, for example, we have in our offices who cannot use any of the inhaler devices because they cannot use their hand. So we end up giving them nebulizers. And in fact, in this study, some of our patients, they favored a nebulized medication since it does not involve any technique. It's just basically a passive delivery system, although not used very commonly because of the cumbersome way of, you know, needing to clean the nebulizer and doing it every day. But it is another potential possibility of delivering medication.
What is a nebulizer versus an inhaler?
Inhaler. So the nebulizer, I don't know if you've been, you know, nebulizer is usually a solution that you put in a small cup and then you drive it through by air that insufflates that solution. It has a mouthpiece. And it gives, like, it aerosolizes the solution. So it doesn't have to be, it's not like an inhaler that you have to shake and push and coordinate the inhalation. It's basically just delivering the drug from a solution to aerosolization through pushing air through it, through a device. There are nebulizer out there that you can use to use nebulized medication. So it's a passive way of delivering the drug. We don't have too many of the, not all the medications that are available in an inhaler device come in nebulized solution. So we only limit it to certain medications in COPD, but there are some. At least we have that choice if we need to pick a nebulizer.
So we've been talking with Dr. Nicola Hanania, Hanania, like Mamma Mia Hanania, who is from the Baylor College of Medicine, a true triple threat from Houston. Who was representing the journal.copdfoundation.org study that he did looking at delivery systems for inhaled medication. The take-home I take from it, and hopefully you will, is make sure you get instructions, and then whether it is by, if you will, virtual visit where you show via phone how you use it, or someone else is able to take a picture of you to show your doctor's office, make sure you understand how to get the right dose every time so that you get optimal care for either asthma or COPD or whatever this is prescribed for you for. I want to thank Dr. Hanania for being on the show, as well as thank Ben and Darian for great engineering, and especially you for downloading us. This is number 898B, the guest segment. Remember, in 899A, we have the latest medical news of the week, plus what it means to you so you can live at the top of your curve. Thanks very much, Dr. Hanania.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mike. Thank you. Thanks for the audience as well.
And thanks especially for the audience, because they're the ones we care about. Download us, tell your friends about us. And do remember, 50,000 or more of you download us a week. You can't be all wrong. So the great guests we have, like Dr. Hanania, are here to help you.